Please stand if you are able. And now let us sing our sermon hymn. Our sermon hymn is, O God, our help in ages past. It is found in your red hymnal on page number 52. And I want to remind you, it is a prayer, so let us also pray while we are singing. And make note of the last line of the sixth verse. It says, Be thou our guide while life shall last. I thought of that as during the installation of our officers. Please, Lord God, guide us. Guide us all. So let us sing.
Let us pray. Lord God, we do thank you for the guidance we have through your holy word. We thank you for its truth and for its direction. We pray for the blessing of your spirit upon our hearts and minds as we seek to live it out. In Christ we pray. Amen. You might have thought we were done with that long, lengthy sermon series on the seven letters of the seven churches as shared in Revelation 2 and 3, but as I was working on the worship schedule, I came back to it one more time. So here's the eighth and final that I'm aware of at this point. I want to read to you a couple of quotes that I came across in preparation for this morning. First is from a guy named Francis Bacon, and he wrote, "It is not what people eat, but what they digest that makes them strong. It's not what we gain, but what we save that makes us rich. It's not what we read, but what we remember that makes us learned. Not what we preach, but what we practice that makes us Christians." I want you to focus on that last point, obviously. Not what we preach, but what we practice makes us Christians. And I'm not talking about the preaching by a pastor. I'm talking about all of the words that we ourselves offer. It's not what we preach, it's not what we say, but we practice makes us Christians. Then hear this quote from A.W. Tozer. Unused truth becomes as useless as an unused muscle. Unused truth becomes as useless as an unused muscle. Thus, the eighth sermon in this series. Believing and practicing Christians must know the truth of the Bible. And it's not just knowing it, we have to practice it, we have to live it, we have to put it to use in our daily lives. And so the letters convey universal lessons that describe and deal with our universal human tendencies. The Bible is described as being alive and active in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is alive and active. That means that this Scripture, through the presence of the Spirit, it was alive and active for when it was written and shared back in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, but it's also alive and active for anybody since then, till now, in our present, and it's alive and active into the future. It's also a word of prophecy. So it does deal with us now, but it's also a word about our future. It's prophetic as well. And so the church in the days of John the Apostle and the church today, and not just St. John's Christian Church, but the universal Christian church around the world, we are given seven lessons to learn and to put into practice. Seven lessons for us to live out. Seven lessons for us that as we do them, as we live them, we're filled with worship and the call to serve the Lord with joy and with gladness. So those seven letters and those seven churches, one more time. First church, Ephesus. They had lost their first love. And the Scripture reminds us in Deuteronomy and in the Gospels, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God. How did Jesus love his heavenly Father? How did Jesus show his love of his heavenly Father? He was obedient. He trusted in God's way, even when he might have wavered there in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus trusted in the way of God, as was his custom. I've always appreciated that phrase in Scripture. In Mark chapter 10, verse 1, it talks about when Jesus had compassion upon the crowd, as was his custom. Jesus was compassionate. And in Luke 4:16, when Jesus was in the synagogue and he stood up to read, it says, as was his custom. On the Sabbath day, Jesus went to the synagogue. As was his custom, Jesus loved his heavenly Father. And he calls us to love the Lord. And I want you to look back over the course of your life and find those times where you were very reminded, very aware of God's love for you. I grew up knowing that God loved me. And I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. I'd come to that young adult point where I was married. We had two kids. We lived in a nice home. And I had my dream job as a camp manager and camp director. And I was set for life. I was set up for everything. And then something began to happen with God's Spirit. And I said, I don't want to. But God somehow said to me, God, Eric, if you love me, you will make this change. And ultimately, you've been stuck with me for all those years since. God calls us to love him in the big things and in the little things, obediently. Church number two, Smyrna. They had been living under trial, and they were persevering in faith under trial. And Christ knows them and calls them to stand the test of time. To stand the test of time. Now, I have tried to refrain in speaking about the Ohio State Buckeye football team ever since the season really began. And I am a Buckeye fan, but I'm not a fanatic. I enjoy watching the games and all that kind of good stuff, but here, I hope, is a good illustration of persevering under trial and standing the test of time. The Ohio State Buckeyes, for too many, the Buckeyes did the unthinkable thing, and they lost for the fourth straight year to Michigan. I have no problem saying that name. 4 years in a row, unthinkable. And that led the call by many fans to fire the head coach and other ill thoughts about solutions to the problem. Ryan Day, throughout, head coach of the team, he kept talking about a story of overcoming adversity, overcoming challenges. And if you followed them 4 games later, OSU won the national championship game. And the story hopefully is going to be in a book, and I'll be able to get that and read it. But Ryan Day kept talking, and players kept talking about how they had to overcome hatred and despair. I met somebody through Habitat a couple of weeks ago that has a family member that lives in Columbus, and he's a security guard. And you know what he's had to do this season? He stands outside Ryan Day's house on a daily basis for a day shift to make sure the family is safe because of the death threats that have come. Isn't that kind of scary? It's kind of scary. But OSU had to overcome adversity. Well, I looked up the Ohio State-Michigan record over the last 20 years. Now, if you follow the rivalry, Michigan has more wins in the rivalry than the Buckeyes. The last 20 years, OSU is 14-6. There was one point where Michigan lost 7 years in a row. And the Buckeye fans can, oh, we've beat them 7 years in a row. But when we lose to them 4 years in a row, we give up all hope? Now, that's just an illustration. We can face things in our faith where there's hatred or accusations made against us. And Christ challenges Smyrna to persevere under trial. Stand the test of time. Do not give up. So when our faith gets attacked by situations or by people, we are challenged to remain in Christ, to remain faithful. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. We can't give up. The third church, Pergamon, they were compromising principles of faith. Pergamon was a city where it was a center of the worship of pagan gods, of idolatry. And idolatry meant that they were worshiping other things before their allegiance to God. Filled with idolatry, excessive devotion or reverence to something other than God. Compromise. The truths of Scripture are not debatable. We can't negotiate them. Several times over the course of my ministry, I have been invited to offer a prayer in public. And there have been a few times where the person that has invited me said, this is a public gathering, we want you to pray, but you can't talk about Jesus and you can't pray about Jesus Christ. Only use God. I cannot compromise. And I said, well, I am going to pray with Jesus and with Jesus Christ, so if you don't want me to pray, then you can rescind your invitation. Nobody ever has rescinded their invitation, and I have prayed since, but we cannot compromise our faith. The fourth church, Thyatira, they tolerated sin. Compromising and tolerating kind of go hand in hand. Again, these lessons build upon one another. They tolerated sin. They ignored it. They allowed it. They lived it. They okayed it. They did not speak against it. What is sin? What is sin? And we can have that wonder, a sin for me is not a sin for somebody else. That's not how the Bible describes it. A sin as declared in the truth of Scripture, is something that sets us against God's fellowship, against God's love. And I'm not going to give you a list of sins, but I am going to point you to Romans 1 and Colossians 3. And there are other passages that give us lists of sins, but what we can't do is point out everybody else's sins and forget about our own. We are to honor God rather than ourself or the world. 1 John 5:5. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So we cannot tolerate sin, and search your hearts and your minds for what God is teaching you in your life, in your life situation. The fifth church, Sardis. They were known to be by Christ to be dead. That's the exact opposite of what Christ wants in the church, to be considered dead. Such a church is only going through the motions. They were focused in on the inward aspect of their church, and they weren't spreading the gospel. A Christian church is to be a mix of congregational care and sharing the gospel with the world. And so we have to stand up for our faith, and we have to speak our faith. When we get in a conversation with somebody and it points to somebody else's sin or what they've done in terms of gossip, we have to stop that conversation. It's not just good enough to walk away from it. It's to say, hey, how about we talk about something that's encouraging to that person? When we see a person in need, we should help them. Our lives should make an impact for others in the name of Jesus Christ. The sixth church, Philadelphia. They were known to have little strength. They needed resurgence. They needed invigoration. They needed to draw upon the strength and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And Christ knows that they had little strength, but he encourages them to endure patiently. Keep the commands, making it through. Enduring patiently. Think about the history of St. John's in the last 20 or so years, all the aspects about the denomination, making it through COVID, finally getting to the point of a building project, enduring patiently through the trials of life. Hebrews 6:12, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. I periodically like to reflect on my mentors. I'm going to visit one of them later this week and spend some time with that person that I met when I was 17 years of age, and they have been a tremendous impact about adulthood and manhood and my faith. He came into my life shortly after my father died, and I looked to this man for everything in my young life of faith. And I'm going there, and I want to just remind him that I am trying to imitate his life of faith lived through Jesus Christ. And I challenge you to do that the same. Think about those people who are instrumental in your spiritual care. Think about them, and if you can, talk with them or pray for them, or praise God if they've already gone on to eternal life. The seventh church, Laodicea. Oh, that subject of being lukewarm. Lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Lukewarm means to be hesitant or guarded. You're on the sidelines. Christ wants us to be all in, to love the Lord, to love to be his disciple. Being a disciple without shame or fear of ridicule, what others might say, but being all in. What happens if we're lukewarm? Christ is going to spit us out of his mouth. That image can be placed over top of the day of judgment when Christ returns. The trumpet sounds and the faithful will meet him in the air. If we have been lukewarm, we're going to be spit out of his mouth. He calls us to be vital and healthy. We cannot be lukewarm. And being cold is a poor choice. We are called to live for God and to live for God alone. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Timothy 6:11. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. We're not supposed to be fighting one another, but the energy of fighting, of staying strong and staying true to the good fight of the faith in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and thanking God for his love for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's pray over our tithes and offerings before the ushers are invited forward. God, we thank you for your abundant blessings in our lives. Everything we have is a gift from you, and it's our joy to give back to you. As we bring our offerings today, we do so with grateful hearts. Use these gifts, Lord, to further your kingdom, to bring hope, and to glorify your name. Teach us to be cheerful givers, reflecting your goodness in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I invite the ushers forward.
For our second offering on this fourth Sunday of the month, I invite our ushers to come back in and receive our offerings for our Imagine Your Faith Building Capital Campaign. Back in December, the congregation approved a new and final budget for the project, shared up here on the screen, of $2,757,000, which was an increase based on the contractor's bids, but also included $253,000 for any changes that might come. And so at that point, the goal was to raise an additional $600,000, kind of a daunting task. We had a realization this last week. The building fund balance with EGR as of the end of 2024 was $2,144,000. We have been paying on the project for in 2023 and 2024, and those expenses are part of the budget. So $314,000 of the budget has already been expended. And we have been holding certain funds for the building at F&M Bank to be able to pay those bills that have come in from the architects and different contractors. So we have $101,000 with F&M. When you decrease all that, and I'll put those numbers there, I left out one line, I think, but we only need to raise an additional $196,000. Now, only. That's still a significant number, but it's a lot less than $600,000. For instance, in 2024, the building fund offerings were $185,000. We had logging income of a little over $85,000. And so, but if you look at the $185,000 compared to $196,000, we're pretty close. So I thank you for the faithfulness of the congregation and those supporting the capital campaign. And again, the work continues, and we try to put that up in the bulletin. So just share that with you this month, and thank you for your offerings.
All right, please stand if you are able. And let us sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is a prayer. So let us also pray while we sing. It is called Glorify Thy Name, and it is found on page number 29 in your red hymnal. After the closing hymn, we will sing a spoken benediction, and then we will say the spoken benediction, and then the benediction in song, which is There is a Redeemer. We will sing verse 3 of There is a Redeemer, and that's found on page number 206. So let us sing Glorify Thy Name.
The love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go forth and glorify thy name. Glorify the Lord's name wherever you are on this earth. To him be the glory. Amen.